What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God. This is the ministry designed to help you get right with God. This is episode 37, and today we're talking about the gift of tongues and a little bit about prophecy, but mostly the gift of tongues. We're in a new series called Church Detox, where we expose half-truths, lies by omissions, and just flat-out lies that we were taught from the pulpit, from different teachers and preachers in our assembly. So we're exposing some things today about the gift of tongues. And one of the things that they tell us, and I was told this, is that the gift of tongues is the evidence of the Holy Spirit. So once you get saved, say you get baptized, I've heard people say so-and-so came out the baptism water speaking in tongues. And that's the evidence that they are filled with the Holy Ghost. And they'll treat you as if you don't speak in tongues, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, or if you're not even born again. And so we're going to see in Scripture how that's not true at all. And so we're going to deal with that. We're going to see whether or not the gift of tongues is a spiritual heavenly language that you're talking to God to, or is it foreign languages? We're also going to talk about how to use that gift as well. So we're going to be reading a lot of Scripture today. We're going to be in the book of Acts, 1 Corinthians, and some other passages. So just get your Bibles out and read along with me. I'll be in the New Living Translation. It reads just the same in the King James Version, but I just wanted the English to be a lot clearer as I read it. Let's get right into it. So they get this idea from Scripture. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, it says, "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there was a devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. 'How can this be?' they exclaimed. 'These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages.' Here we are." They go through different nations, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and so on and so on. And then it says, "And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. 'What can this mean?' they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying they're just drunk, that's all. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, 'Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." He goes on to his sermon and stuff like that, but they go off of that scripture there. The Holy Ghost came and then they started speaking in tongues or another language. But now we see here that it's just regular languages. You know, and the Holy Spirit gave them the power to do this because he wanted to get the gospel to all these people in this region at the time. There was multiple nations there who were speaking different languages, and they needed to hear the gospel in their own language to understand. So we see here that the Holy Spirit gave them the power to speak in a language that was foreign to them so that the information could be translated. That's it. So they say, well, you know, once you get Holy Spirit, you're supposed to speak in tongues because of this passage here. But this was a special case where they needed to translate the gospel to people in different languages. They needed to speak to them like that. And I'm not saying the Holy Spirit doesn't do that today. You may go to Africa somewhere or some other country where you don't speak the language, and God gives you the power and ability to speak in another language to give the gospel to somebody. You know, that's one form of the gift of tongues that I would say according to scripture here. Okay, another passage they use is Acts 19:6. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So they say, see, the evidence of the Holy Spirit is you're speaking in tongues. And in this case here, you're prophesying. You must be doing these two things, or at least the tongues, in order to be valid saint or a child of God. But what they haven't done is taken the whole counsel of God into consideration. This other passage explaining what the gift of tongues is, what the tongues is rather. And it's a gift. I just said it. And so that means everybody don't get that gift. So we're going to see in scripture how this is what it really is. And everybody doesn't get it. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And then we'll skip down and read the rest of the chapter. So 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1. This is Paul helping these people understand this gift. He said, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. And I just want to take that passages 4-6. That's pretty much the Trinity, the Godhead. We see here we got the Holy Spirit giving out gifts. We have the Lord Jesus Christ providing services, like giving out different kinds of service, and then we have God working in different ways as well. So we got the Holy Spirit, we got Jesus the Lord, and we got God the Father. All three giving out things to their people, okay? And if you look at other passages, and I've mentioned this in the past, that the Holy Spirit gives out 9 gifts. Jesus Christ gives out these administrative service gifts, which is about 5 of them. We call them the fivefold ministry, the prophet, teacher, evangelist, et cetera. And then we have what we call the motivational gifts that come from God the Father. And all of us get some of those. I think about 7 of those. Yeah, so that's just a little side note. But let's continue on in verse 7. It says, a spiritual gift, he's referring from ones that come from the Holy Spirit now, is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, the gift of wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of the God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So right there, everybody don't get the gift of tongues. So don't go around telling people if they don't speak in tongues, they're not filled with the Spirit, they're not born again. They may not have that gift. The Holy Spirit didn't give that to them. I'm sick of hearing this. You need to be born again with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That ain't nowhere in Scripture. This is a gift that he has given to some of the saints. Some saints get prophecy. Some saints get the gift of wisdom. Some saints get the gift of healing. There's miracles, all kind of different gifts. 9 different gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. And y'all talking about somebody's supposed to have the gift of tongues in order to be validated as a born again child of God. That's a gift. Everybody don't have it. So it's just clearly said right there, you know, and he decides who he gonna give it to. Now we'll see later on. We can pray for some gifts too. We can ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I want this gift, I want that gift, and he may or may not give it to us. But I just want to share that you cannot validate somebody based off the tongues and say, well, they're speaking in tongues, they must be saved, or they're not saved unless they're speaking in tongues. No, that's a gift from the Holy Spirit. He may or may not give that to them. We'll talk about how to validate the Holy Spirit through a person later on. But for right now, let's keep going. So within the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to jump down because he talks about, you know, how the body works together and how we all have these gifts and we have to work together. And I'm going to skip through all that for time's sake. But we're going to go down to verse 28. And it says, here are some of the parts God has appointed for his church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Notice how unknown languages is the last on the list. And this is basically an order of importance for the body of Christ. So when a church is being first laid down, the apostle is the one that comes and lays the foundation of the church. Okay, sets it up. From there, you got prophets who keep them on track. And then you got teachers, and it goes on with some of the other gifts and their importance. We're going to tell you why the gift of tongues is on the bottom. We're going to find out later. But okay, in verse 29, it says, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And as you know, this is the end of the chapter. And then we go into chapter 13 where it talks about love. Whole chapter about love. So he's saying love is beyond all this. So y'all want to talk about, oh, I got this gift, I got that. At the end of the day, you better have love because that's what's most important. But I just want to deal with these final passages. He said, does everybody have this gift? Does everybody have this gift? He said, no. So everybody don't have the gift of tongues. So don't go around trying to validate somebody's salvation or their being a child of God by them speaking in tongues or not. This I'm saved with the evidence of speaking in tongues is not in the Bible. That's a gift that the Holy Spirit decides to give to certain people. And it's retarded because people don't read the Bible. All you got to read is 1 Corinthians 12 to see that. But we gonna see in 1 Corinthians 14 how the gift is used. People just decide to take a few passages like we've seen in Acts and just say, okay, this is how the Holy Spirit operates. Immediately, if you got the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak in tongues. And if you don't, you probably not saved. That's crazy. Read the rest of the Bible. All right, so we're going to 1 Corinthians 14. We know 1 Corinthians 13 was about love. And so you'll see parts of that spill over into this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. So we see here the gift of tongues is a heavenly language that you can speak to God with. Okay? And he's saying you will only be talking to God since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. So he's saying here, you should desire the special abilities of the Holy Spirit, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, but especially prophecy. So now he's making prophecy a little bit more important than the gift of tongues. Why? Because the gift of tongues is personal. That's between you and God. But you see how people lift that gift up? Like, you got to have that gift. What about the tongues? And everybody talking about the tongues. That's the least of the gifts. This is something that's between you and God. That's something he's saying, look, the prophecy is more important because it helps everybody. You come out with a prophecy from God, you change the whole church. you help the church stay on track. Now, the tongues is just so great. The tongues is this, the tongues is that. What about the tongues? Come on, man, the tongues is the least of the gift. Now, he's not knocking this gift. But you're going to see further on that he uses the gift more than anybody else in this passage. And we're not knocking the gift. We're not saying that the gift of tongues is of the devil or anything like that. Let's keep reading. Verse 5, I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. So it's important that if you're going to speak in tongues, to interpret that. And so somebody should have the gift of interpretation to interpret the tongues that you want to speak out loud in front of the church. Okay? Verse 6, dear brothers and sisters, if I should come to you speaking in an unknown language, how would that help you? See that? He's trying to get the church in Corinthians straight. Like, what? Does that help you? If somebody, how's that help me? And I've been in multiple services, people just speaking in tongues out loud, nobody interpreting, and we just sitting around somehow, well, I guess this is helping us somehow spiritually behind the scenes. We don't really know. It ain't helping nobody because nobody's interpreting. It goes on to say, but if I bring you a revelation or a special knowledge of prophecy or teaching, that will be helpful. Even lifeless instruments like the flute or the harp must play the notes clearly or no one will recognize the melody. And if the bugler doesn't sound a clear call, how will the soldiers know they are being called to battle? It's the same for you. If you speak to people in words they don't understand, how would they know what you are saying? You might as well be talking into empty space. See, he had to say this to them because for some reason, the gift of tongues, I mean, people go crazy with that. And it's still happening today in church. The charismatic movement, the Pentecostals, they're still doing this stuff. And they just gonna open their Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 or 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and see and get in order. No, they just gonna keep doing this. It's really crazy. But this is why we in this series. That's why you hearing this from me. God was trying to get his church back on track. And it starts with just reading the Bible in context. We read this whole chapter. Verse 13, so anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what has been said. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. And we talked about prayer a couple episodes back. You know, if you're praying in tongues privately, you should probably pray for the interpretation. What did I just say in the Holy Ghost? Okay, that makes sense. Okay, great. And I will understand what I said, because if I don't understand what I'm saying and I'm praying in tongues for an hour, that really is not helpful to me. You know, I need some understanding. You know, he says pray for interpretation. Let me go back to 13. So anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what has been said. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Well, then what should I do? I will pray in the spirit and I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the spirit and I will also sing in words I understand. So we don't want to hear nobody talking about they singing in tongues. I'm sick of that. I don't want to hear that because nobody understands what you're saying. You don't understand what you're saying. I don't want to hear that. People singing in tongues, laughing in tongues, all kind of weird stuff going on in this anti-Bible. This ain't in the scriptures. I will sing in the spirit and I will also sing in words I understand. For if you praise God only in the spirit, how can those who don't understand you praise God along with you? How can they join you in giving thanks when you don't understand what you are saying? You will be giving thanks very well, but it won't strengthen the people who hear you. So we talking about assemblies. Don't do all this stuff in assemblies. You can speak in tongues privately, try to get interpretation. But the bottom line is in assembly, you can't do this stuff. Because it's confusion. You will be giving thanks very well, but it won't strengthen the people who hear you. Verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. So he ain't hating on the gift. He got it and he used it. But in a church meeting, I would rather speak five understandable words to help others that than 10,000 words in an unknown language. Verse 20, dear brothers and sisters, don't be childish in your understanding of these things. Be innocent as babes when it comes to evil, but be mature in understanding matters of this kind. It is written in Scripture, I will speak to my own people through strange languages and through the lips of foreigners. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. So you see that speaking in tongues is a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for the benefit of believers, not unbelievers. Even so, if unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your church meeting and hear everyone speaking in an unknown language, they will think you are crazy. But if all of you are prophesying and unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your meeting, they will be convicted of sin and judged by what you say. As they listen, their secret thoughts will be exposed and they will fall to their knees and worship God, declaring God is truly here among you. And this has happened. I've seen this happen in assemblies where people were prophesying and somebody came in. They were saved, but everything the person was prophesying was speaking to that person's life. And they, how you know that? God was speaking through them. And that's more profitable. That's more edifying than just a bunch of people speaking in tongues in public, in a public assembly, you know? And that's what we trying to get people to understand here. And that's what will happen. You'll end up in verse 25, it says, and they listen, their secret thoughts will be exposed and they will fall to their knees and worship God, declaring God is truly here among you. So let me continue on and finish the rest of this chapter. Verse 26, it says, well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in languages, and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. No more than two or three should speak in tongues. They must speak one at a time, and someone must interpret what they say. I don't hear no more speaking in tongues and nobody interpretive, okay? He says, he goes on to say, but if no one is present who can interpret, they must be silent in your church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately. So shut your mouth. You know, ain't no interpreters. If you don't have the gift of interpretation, be quiet. You don't need to share that at the meeting. I've been in houses where everybody is speaking in tongues for 2 or 3 hours straight. House smell like breath. No interpretation. Just craziness. You know, everybody Pentecostal, charismatic. And I'm like, man. And then they at one point they said I wasn't saved because I wasn't speaking in tongues. I'm like, man, this is crazy. The scriptures are clear. Verse 29, let two or three people prophesy and let the others evaluate what is said. So anytime you got somebody prophesying, let somebody check out what they're saying. Like, OK, let's think about that. We don't want to let nobody just prophesy because it could be of their flesh, you know, so you got to check that. It goes on in verse 30. But if someone is prophesying and another person receives a revelation from the Lord, the one who is speaking must stop. And so what's happening is a person prophesying, another person gets a revelation, and pretty much God is kind of interrupting that. The other person got to stop. They say, wait a minute, God is speaking into that about that. Let's deal with that. And so we switch over to that person that got that revelation that has to deal with that prophecy or whatever. Okay. And this is just order. He's just saying, you know, because obviously they were out of order. People were talking over people. Everybody running their mouth. It's chaos. You see? Verse 31. In this way, all who prophesy will have a turn to speak one after the other so that everyone will learn and be encouraged. Verse 32, remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. Obviously, somebody thought they did. This word is bubbling up in me. I cannot, you know, well, that's the devil, because you got power over your spirit. You got control over yourself. You can be quiet. You can stop. You see? Verse 33, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the meetings of God's holy people. Women should be silent during the church meetings. It is not proper for them to speak. They should be submissive, just as the law says. If they have any questions, they should ask their husbands at home, for it is improper for women to speak in church meetings. Verse 36, or do you think God's word originated with you Corinthians? Are you the only ones to whom it was given? If you claim to be a prophet or think you are spiritual, you should recognize that what I am saying is a command from the Lord himself. So this whole chapter, he's talking about this is coming from God. Y'all need to get in order. I gave y'all some gifts. You can't be using this gift improperly. You know, you need to be in order. This is God saying all this. But if you do not recognize this, you yourself will not be recognized. So you got to be up on this, y'all. If y'all start letting your churches be disorderly, and y'all, you may not be recognized. So he's telling you up front. And verse 39, it says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid to speak in the tongues. See, once you read this whole chapter, some people might get to a point to where, no, we just not going to speak in tongues. That's the far left. You know, some people are, they say today, speaking in tongues is of the devil. You can't speak in tongues. You can't do that. No, it's a gift from God, from the Holy Spirit, just like all the rest of them. Don't hate on it. Just use it in order and its proper function. You see, she said, don't forbid speaking in tongues, because some people do that. But be sure that everything is done properly and in order. And that's the last of the chapter. Right there, he gave a clear understanding of everything, the tongues and prophecy and how to do things in order. Okay, so if you go to a church and this is what they're doing, just bring these two chapters up. And if they don't change, leave that church, because they don't respect God. God gave a mandate. This is how it's supposed to be. If they don't want to accept that, leave that church. That's foolishness going on up in there. People up there speaking in tongues, nobody interpreting, just rumbling off at the mouth. Now, I've heard stories that witches speak in tongues. They can come in, they come into the meeting and they speak in tongues, and somebody interpreted it and realized that they were saying things that was blaspheming the church, that local church there, and God. So you always need an interpreter. You don't want nobody coming up here and talking about they got the gift of tongues. And that's another thing. It can be faked, because nobody knows what you're saying. It can be faked. So if you want to say that somebody's saved because they speak in tongues, well, I can front like I'm saved. And if I'm a sinner and I want to fit in with your congregation and do damage to your body, the local fellowship there or the assembly, I can do that. I'll just come up here and start speaking in tongues. And then you thinking I'm saved and I'm speaking damnation over the whole congregation. Get an interpreter. You can't have that stuff going on. That way you know what somebody's saying. Or you keep it private. There's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues private, but he said, even if I'm praying in private, I want to know what I'm saying. So that's the proper use and understanding of the gift. Now, finally, I want to talk about what the real evidence of the Holy Spirit is. Talking about the tongues is, I'm going to show you what it really is. The evidence of the Holy Spirit is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So if you got the Holy Spirit in your life, this is what the kind of fruit is going to produce. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. That's what the evidence of the Holy Spirit is. Don't judge nobody by them speaking in tongues. Judge them by these qualities here. Love. Do they have love? Are they joyous? Are they peaceful? Are they patient? Are they kind? Are they good to one another? Are they producing good? Are they faithful? Are they gentle? Do they have self-control? Judge by that. Don't judge by somebody speaking in tongues. That's not correct evidence. It is partially that, because that person has a gift from the Holy Spirit. But everybody don't have a gift. Like we just shown you in scripture, the Holy Spirit decides who he's going to give his gift to. So I hope that helps people with the whole gift of tongues thing. Like I said, this is a simple study. You could jump into 1 Corinthians 13. And 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. That will clear up this whole gift and understanding, real simple. But yet you see whole congregations still practicing this stuff. And it amazes me. you won't go into the passage and actually look at what's going on because something ain't right there in that church. And I would say if you're in a church like that, stop. I've heard people, they speak in tongues for like an hour or so, and then after that they got sick. And they realized they were speaking something over themselves, and they were letting demons in because they had a spirit from the devil that was giving them a language that was communicating with spirits, that evil spirits, by the way, that was hurting them. It was weird stuff going on. You gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. But the gift of tongues is from the Holy Spirit. It's a heavenly language between God and man. We've also seen it somewhat used at Pentecost, where God gave the people the ability to speak in its actual earthly language. So you can look at it those two different ways. But the bottom line is there needs to be interpretation when it comes to the heavenly language between you and God. And of course, once again, if you're in an assembly, you should have an interpreter, because it's not edifying for people to hear that, because it does nothing for anybody. They don't understand it. So until next time, walk in the Spirit and you'll produce what the Holy Spirit you just mentioned here: love, joy, peace, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And be blessed.